Morning, boys.
Morning.
Well, it's a beautiful day, isn't it, in January? It's a blessing. Not too cold. Any prayer requests here before we start? Small group. Two. Okay, well, let's pray. Lord God, we've come to you this morning. We're thankful for this opportunity to be here like this, gathered together. We ask your blessing on these boys here and those that can't be here this morning. We ask your hand upon them, especially those who are sick. We pray for Debbie, that you would help her in just to feel better soon, and many others too around the world and in other countries that are struggling, and here too, just whatever. Help us to overcome, be overcomers, Lord, and be strong. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Thank you for your goodness and kindness to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye"? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Okay, let's think about that just for a little here. It's an interesting thing how we affect our own judgment and how we're going to be judged by how we think and judge others. Have you thought of that before? Whenever someone does something that you're not sure why they did it that way, we shouldn't just immediately think in our minds, oh, they did it for a wrong reason or a wrong motive, right? We do a lot of the same things ourselves, don't we, or worse. And so, don't judge others by our standard of measure. It will be measured to us. So how we think about others is how maybe the Lord thinks about us. So, let's not be critical of others and thinking about the little specks that are in their eyes whenever we've got things in our own lives to work at. But think kindly and generously of others. Okay, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. For his teaching, he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Okay. How do you know a false prophet? What does it say about the false prophets in here? What do they many times do, or what do they look like? Okay. Look at verse 15. They might, but they don't look that way at first glance. Yeah, they look good. They look just like really innocent, and like they're there to help you and just provide, and they look just really good generally. False prophets, beware, look out. And it is a blessing that we can know a good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So it takes some time, doesn't it, for fruit to grow, and for us to tell what kind of fruit is going to be produced by a tree. It just takes time. And so, but the fruit does come eventually, and we know what kind of a tree it is. So life just takes patience, but the Lord makes things plain to us as we need to see. The Lord shows us what we need to know. So, okay, well, I'll let you go ahead with your memory work.
We were supposed to get a verse and memorize it about diligence. And I got Proverbs 10:4. He becometh poor who dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich.
Yeah, I have 2 Peter verse 5. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence, your faith, diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in all your moral excellence, knowledge.
I found my verse in Proverbs 11:27, and I applied it to my life this week. I don't know. I found it, and it says, "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he who seeks mischief, it will come to him." And so, if you seek good and do good, then the other people might more tend to help you if you need it someday. So,
my verse was Hebrews 11:6, And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope that is to the end. And I want to apply diligence for my whole life
like I tried this week.
What was that reference again?
Hebrews 6:11.
6:11.
I got Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. And I just need to work at doing, applying that to my life. And if I have a job, I tend to want to put it off and do something else that I'd rather do. But I just need to do it and do it to all my might.
Romans 2, verses 6 and 7. It's talking about Jesus. Who will render to each person according to his deeds, and to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. I've been working at persevering in doing good.
2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, if you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And I'm working on being diligent and doing my job right and consistently.
I got Proverbs 4:23, and it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And this week I worked at applying that by diligently being good and keeping my heart right, because if your heart's right, you'll do right things.
I have Proverbs 10:4. Poverty humbles a man, but a diligent man enriches others. And we need to help each other and be diligent.
In 2 Peter 1:5, Peter tells, he's like, I'm going to do diligent in all things, so that when I'm going, you guys can look back and think of what I did diligent. And kind of thinking, buckets for our kids, and put all our handles in the buckets on one side of the bucket, so that way when you fill them up, you just got to grab the handle, and you got to search for the handle. Just being diligent in the little things, you be diligent in the big things.
I was just kind of paging through the New Testament, and I came across a neat epistle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and I think the context, based on what I could glean from that chapter, was that Paul was in affliction somewhere, in persecution, in one of his journeys out and about, and he was wanting to hear from the church of Thessalonica, and just was very desirous to hear how they were doing, whether they were persevering, so he sent Titus to Thessalonia, and Titus came back and told Paul how they were doing. But I'll read the passage that I found. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left. Verse five of First Thessalonians chapter 3 says, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, or our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So I just thought that was pretty neat, because Paul was dependent on the church to be doing well and growing in love toward one another, and he was wanting to hear back from them. And so you just see that diligence, that dynamic there between the shepherds and the sheep. And I just thought about the church and how, you know, in Thessalonica, they were just a church like we are. And it's kind of like how we go to, we want to hear from Mexico, they want to hear from us. And there's just a diligence there. We're all working together. And Paul, because in verse 7 it says, "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord." And Paul was saying that if they stand fast, that it's so encouraging to them that they can live by that. And I was just thinking about how much we depend on each other, even the lowest person in the church that doesn't think they're very much or worth very much. They're the way they take care of their responsibilities and are diligent. It encourages those who are in charge. And it's just a beautiful picture here.